Well, here we are. We're in week two of our series, Ordinary. It's a series based on the life of Elijah the prophet. Last weekend, I gave quite a bit of background information regarding Elijah. And if you weren't here last week, there's three main things that you need to know. So I'm just going to give you a real quick recap. Just take a couple seconds. Number one, Elijah was an ordinary guy, just like all of us. There was nothing special about him. He was just an ordinary guy. Number two, during Elijah's time, when Elijah come onto the scene in the Bible, the nation of Israel was in complete chaos and it was out of control. It had gone from a time of prosperity to now a time of chaos. And number three, Elijah was a man of prayer. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter number 17. We read verse 1 last week, and so we're going to continue. We're going to read a lot more out of verse 17 this morning, and we're going to pick up the story starting at verse number 2. If you don't have your Bible, it's going to be up on the screen here, so you can follow along there. So 1 Kings 17, starting at verse 2, it says this. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith, that is east of the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And after a while, the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little jug of oil. And now I'm gathering a couple sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. It's our last meal. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, what have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son. And he said to her, give me your son. And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son? Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again. And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. And the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. I'm calling this message today, the hiding place. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for this message. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to these precious people in this room here today. But God, if you do not anoint me, this message will be pointless. But God, if you do anoint me, this message will go forth and it will change lives. God, I believe that you've given me this message for such a time as this. So Father, today I pray, Lord, that you would open the ears, the spiritual ears of your people. Allow me to communicate this in a way that's easily understood, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we get into this and start to break this down, I want to say that when I was originally writing this, I was going to go with this scripture, and I was actually going to talk about the resurrection of the dead. And we're actually going to move that to next week, because as I was writing this, God revealed a truth to me that I'd never seen before. And of all the messages I've ever done in my life, I don't think one has ministered to me more personally than this one right here. This touched me probably greater. This is a message that I will come back to, and I really feel like, so maybe this was for me, I don't know, and now you're just going to have to listen to it. But I really feel like there is a hidden truth here that if you grab a hold of this, this will change your life. And so let's start to break this down. Right after Elijah's confrontation with King Ahab that we talked about last week regarding the upcoming drought, God immediately tells Elijah to leave, go east, and hide in the Cherith Brook. Now here's a map to give you an idea of where that's going to be located. It's believed that when Elijah had the conversation with King Ahab, they were in Samaria. And then God tells him to leave Samaria, head east, and hide in the Cherith Brook. Now, if you actually talk to someone that has been to this location, to the Cherith Brook, they would tell you that the terrain is very rugged and it would be very easy to hide someone in this. It's a very remote wilderness. So we read that after he hides in the brook, God then sends him northwest to Zarephath. And here's another map that shows you that trek. Now, you would think that it would be easier for him to just go directly from Samaria straight up to Zarephath. But God takes him on this little journey over to the Cherith Brook. The journey would have been so much easier just to go straight north. But here he is heading east. But notice that God did not give him the command to go to Zarephath until Elijah obeyed the command to go to the brook. Elijah didn't know he was going to Zarephath until after he went to the brook. And so God gave him the command to go to the brook, and when the brook ran dry, he gave him the command to go to Zarephath. It's because there was a lesson that he wanted Elijah to learn while he was there in the brook. It's a very important lesson. It's the same lesson that's important for all of us to learn in our work, in our walk with God. It's the lesson of the hiding place. So, because he hid Elijah in the brook. So what exactly is the hiding place? Look at Psalm 119 and 114. It says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." God himself is the hiding place. It's the presence of God. It's when we get into the presence of God. We talked about this a little bit last week when I talked about prayer, and Elijah was a man of prayer, but we're going to take this a step further today because there's an important truth with this. I want you to think about a tree. What makes a tree strong? It's not the bark on the outside. What makes a tree strong is the roots. It's what's hidden beneath the soil. It's the part that nobody sees that makes the tree strong. If the root system of the tree is weak, the entire tree will be weak. I don't care how good it looks on the outside. It's all about what's below the soil. Likewise, when we spend time in the hiding place, in the presence of God, it's like we build our root system. There's something special about people that have been in the presence of God. You can just tell. They're great people of faith. There are people that believe faith for the impossible. They have faith for the impossible. Faith is the ability for us to move forward when life doesn't make sense. Faith is the ability to move forward when we don't have all of the answers. It's when we ask ourselves, am I going to trust God or not? I'm going to tell you something. Strength to move forward will only be found in the hiding place. Elijah needed the hiding place. The hiding place was vital as he needed the strength for what was about to come. He had no clue of the journey God was about to take him on, but God knew, and so God sent him to the hiding place. Jesus himself knew the secret of the hiding place. Look at this in Luke chapter 6. It says, "In these days he," which is Jesus, "went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon who was called the Zealot and Judas the son of James and Judas Iscariot who became a traitor. And verse 17 says, and he came down with them. Now he just spent all night on the mountain, but then he comes down off the mountain and he stood with them on a level place. With a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him. Listen to this. For power came out from him and he healed them all. This was a regular practice of Jesus. You would see him consistently, it's all over the New Testament, you would see him consistently go into the hiding place. He would just get into the presence of the Father. The hiding place gave him the strength that he needed for what was to come. What was to come? It was ministry. Notice it says he came down off the mountain, he called his disciples to him, and then he went to work. The hiding place is where we get the strength we need for the assignment that God has given us. You can't find it anywhere else. It will only be found in the hiding place. Jesus spent time in the hiding place, but then we see he came down and went to work. He taught people. He healed people. He delivered people from demons. Look at verse 19 again. And the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him, and he healed them all. Power came out of him. This is ministry. You see, we go to the hiding place. We spend time in God's presence. We get refreshed. But then we leave the hiding place. We come down off of the mountain, so to speak, because there's work to do in the valley. There's hurting people in our midst. There are people that are headed to eternity without Christ, away from God. So we come down into where the hurt is. We spill ourselves. And then we head back up to the hiding place. It's kind of like this. If we picture this glass being us, and we feel empty, we feel dry, but then what we do is we go to the hiding place and we allow the Spirit of God to fill us up. But the purpose of that is not for us to stay in this position. The purpose of that is to come out of the hiding place then and begin to spill ourselves into other people. But then when we spill ourselves, just like Jesus, power comes out of us. We get weary, we get tired, and then we've got to go where? Back to the hiding place to fill back up. And then we get filled back up again, but the purpose isn't to stay there. It's to come back out, and it's to spill into the lives of others. The power, it can be exhausting, but then we go back to the hiding place and we just keep repeating the process and we keep letting the Spirit of God fill us up in the hiding place, and then we go out and we spill again. It's the work of the ministry. Have you ever heard someone say, I'm just burnt out. I just can't go on anymore. I just can't do it anymore. I used to say it too, guilty. But this is what I've come to realize. People that spend time in the hiding place don't burn out, because the hiding place is where we receive strength. It's where we're renewed. It's where we're refilled. And if we neglect the hiding place, we will burn out, because God never intended it for us to do it on our own strength. The power we need is found in the hiding place. Think about Jesus. He never complained about being burnt out. He kept going. He kept healing the sick. He kept teaching the people. He kept helping the down and out over and over and over again. If anyone would have burnt out, it would have been him. But he knew the secret. And he climbed back up to that mountain. And he spent time in the hiding place. Now I want to speak to those of you in this room that you feel like you're in a place in life where you feel like you are empty. You feel like you're burnt out. You feel like you want to give up. God wants you to know today that he is waiting for you in the hiding place. He wants to renew your strength. He's waiting for you there. Get before God. Spend time in his presence and you will see your strength return. I guarantee you, you will not find it anywhere else. Nowhere else will we find the strength. to do what God has called us to do, but in the hiding place. Here's some proof. Listen to this. This is Isaiah 40 and verse 31. It says, "But they who wait for the Lord," that's the hiding place, "they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." How do we get to that point? We wait upon the Lord. It's in the hiding place. Here's more proof. These are the words of Jesus in Matthew 11 and verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all who are who labor and are heavy laden." Do you feel like that? Do you feel heavy laden? You feel like you're laboring? And he says, "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." It's only found in the hiding place. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God wants to renew our strength, but the strength we need will only be found in the hiding place. So he sends Elijah, and Elijah hides himself in the Cherith Brook. It's just him and God. God miraculously provides for him in this place. The water he needs, he gets from the brook, and God commands the ravens to send him food. Now, we could do a whole message on the principle of the raven and how God commanded the raven. God could have used anything to provide for Elijah, but he chose the raven, which is very odd because the raven is a bird that God himself declared unclean in the book of Leviticus. Not only that, but the raven is known to neglect its young. It's known not to even feed its own young. But here we see this bird bringing food to the prophet morning and night. You see, God wants us to know that he is our provider. Our job is not our provider. Our spouse is not our provider. God is our provider. So much so that even the raven moves at his command. So Elijah's fed by the ravens and he drinks from the brook for some time. But then we see something happens. The brook dries up. The water's gone. Then God comes to Elijah and he speaks to him and he says, "Elijah, it's time to move. It's time to leave the hiding place and make your way down to the battlefield because there's hurting people I need you to help." You see, here's what happens. We can get very comfortable in the hiding place. We can get comfortable in that place of rest and decide, you know what, I kind of like it here, I want to stay. But remember, the purpose of the hiding place is to prepare us for our assignment. It's to give us strength for our assignment. The purpose of the mountain experience is to prepare us for what's going to happen in the valley. What a great place for Elijah to be, spending time in God's presence every day. The water, all the water he needs is right there. Food is there. All of his needs are being met. Why would he ever want to leave? He's in a place of comfort. So God comes along and dries his brook. All God had to do was speak the word to get him to go to Cherith. But to get him to leave that place of comfort, he had to dry the brook. He had to take away Elijah's comfort. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes God will dry the brook in your life to force you to move out of the hiding place. The hiding place is important. But God does not intend for us to stay there. This is a trap for many of us. Jesus himself did not stay there. Jesus himself came down to take care of the hurts. You see, we can fall into this trap and quit serving other people. I can say we need help on our buses. People go out and pick kids up and bring them into church. I can say we need people to help in our kids department. I can say we need people to help in our youth department. We need help at ushers and greeters and all this other stuff, whatever it may be. And over the years, I've heard many people respond like this. Well, it's just not for me, Pastor. I tell you what, I will pray for you. What they're telling me is I'm too happy here in the hiding place. I don't want to come out of the hiding place. Here is the truth. We need people praying. We need people seeking God. But there comes a time when we need to say amen in the prayer and come down from the mountain and enter the battlefield. We need soldiers on the ground, so to speak. People that are willing to get their hands dirty for the glory of God. We get worn out. We get tired. As it says, Jesus, the power came out of Jesus. But then we know the secret. We know the answer. We get back to the hiding place. We get refreshed. And then we get back to work. I'm going to get pretty raw with you here for the remainder of this message. I'm going to share something that's dear to my heart, a journey that we were on. And I've heard a lot of people tell me that they love it when I do this because it really ministers to them personally when I really give true life examples of what we've gone through. And so I want to tell you a little bit of a story, and this is why this is so real to me. And when God gave me this message, it really struck home. I remember November of 2016. I'll never forget November of 2016. It's really the month that God dried the brook for me personally. We had been in Phoenix for a little over 5 years, and we seen God do some great things there. And many would say that at that time I had what would be considered the dream job in the ministry world. I was number two at one of the largest churches that's in America, one of the best known churches, one of the churches that's been influential in changing the world. I got to walk right underneath the leadership of Luke and Tommy Barnett for those years. I got to sit backstage in the green room and shake hands with some of the best known preachers in the world, Joyce Meyer, John Bevere, all of those people. I got to sit right on the front row and listen to them preach. And it was a great time. I was very, very comfortable. But then in November 2016, I got to a place in my life where I just seemed to have lost all of my joy. I was in a place of extreme comfort. We lived in a great home. We'd built many friendships. Really, life was good, but I had lost all my joy. And God began to speak, "It's time to go." Phoenix was a hiding place for me, so to speak. It was stress physically, but spiritually, that time there was like a hiding place. It was a period of rest spiritually. But then God spoke, "It's time to go." Here was the challenge. Because I was in such a place of extreme comfort, I didn't want to go. I liked being in a place of comfort. And I think if we're all honest, we would say that. Yeah, I like being in a place of comfort. So I resisted, and I resisted greatly. So God dried my brook. My joy was gone. Kyle and I talked about it, and we decided it was time to go. And God had provided greatly for us in those years, more so in that season than he has in any other portion of our life over that 5-year term. And now he came to us and said, "Now I want you to give it up. I want you to leave your place of comfort and trust me as your provider. It's time to step down off of the mountain because there's hurting people in the valley." We resigned our position there. Kyla resigned her position there. And it was about a 60%, little more than 60% decrease in salary that we took. And I remember coming here and preaching and being elected as your new lead pastor. Then we got on that plane and went home. And that's when the enemy really came in and hit me hard. And I started to have these panic attacks and these episodes of fear that I had not experienced before. And he came in and started shouting in my ear, "You're a fool. What have you done? You think you really heard from God?" And I'm really struggling with this, and it's keeping me up at night. And nobody knows because I don't really share this. But at this point in my life, it was a struggle for me. And I'm just being real. I'm just human like everybody else. But then But then something happened. We have a prayer pastor in Phoenix. His name's Pastor Saeed. He's one of those guys that says, God told me this and you know it's true. And so he calls me up one day and he says, Pastor, God told me that he wanted me to pray for you. You need to get up to the prayer pavilion right now. Yes, sir. And I dropped the stuff I was doing, and we have a prayer, it's called a prayer pavilion there, that it's open 24 hours a day. People from all over the city can go and pray. And so he called me up there. He oversees this. And I walk into his office, and he goes, I want you to sit down right there. And so I sat down on this chair, kind of bossy. And he takes this prayer shawl, and he puts it over my head. He goes, I know you've been experiencing some stuff, and I feel like God wants me to pray for you right now. And so then he opened some anointing oil, and he placed the oil on my head. And as soon as his hand touched my head and he started to pray, it's like everything just went out. And it's like I had this vision. Now, rarely does God speak to me this way. But this time it was so real and so powerful. It was almost like he took me and set me right on the streets here in Green Bay. And I seen myself walking along, and I seen what he wants to do in this city. I seen it like I was right there. I'm not going to share it with you because I don't believe I'm supposed to. I believe God gave that to me to encourage me. My wife knows. But I seen it. It was like I was there, and I just started to weep, and I started to cry. Because of all this that I'm experiencing, it was like he was saying, it's time to go. It's time to come out. Because I've called you there. You can trust me. And I had this new fire come back into my spirit, this new fire come back into my bones. And I said, yes. I said, this is what God has called us to do. And I walked out of that room, and I walked back to my office, and I took out my journal, which is this right here, and I opened it up, and I wrote down in there what God had just shown me. Word for word, I just wrote it down. And so now what I do is, when I get a little discouraged, or I feel like things aren't moving quick enough, or this or that, I go back, and I open that up, and I reread it. And it rejuvenates me again. Because it brings back to my memory what God wants to do in this city with this group of people. And it fires me up. So I want to tell you, the hiding place, that was a seasonal hiding place. Elijah had a seasonal hiding place as well. And I believe the seasonal hiding places are for our four big assignments. We still regularly go back to that hiding place and get alone with God, just like Jesus did. But the purpose isn't to stay there. The purpose is to come down and to touch his people. I stood up here and I preached buses by faith. I was nervous when I did because as a church we had no money for buses, but I remember what God had showed me. God provided a bus. Then he provided the paint for the bus. Then he provided a second bus. You might have seen it out there on the parking lot, given to us. And just this morning, God provided the paint for the second bus. And God moves a family. Isn't that great? And God moves a family 2,000 miles to be the bus director. Things that I would have never known before. Never. God provided us materials, all the materials in our clothing closets down the basement. If you haven't seen it, go down there. It's starting to come together. All the materials for the racks was all donated. We didn't have to pay for any of it by a local lumberyard. God is beginning to bring people into this church with a like heart and a like mind. I'm getting ready to start with the Vision 2040. I've been talking about it. I'm going to preach that purely by faith. It doesn't even make sense, and I'm sure some people are even going to laugh at me. But that's okay, let them laugh. Because I believe what God has said. I'm going to make mistakes along the way. I know I will. But God is bigger than every mistake. And I have found that God will usually ask us to do things that do not make sense. And he will not tell us why until we take a step of faith and obey him. We didn't know why. All I knew is my brook had run dry, and we said yes, and yes, that's where we're going. And God never said any of that before. He never told me anything before. I knew that that's where we were going. And it was only after we took the step of faith and said yes that the Holy Spirit comes in and he shows us why. So I want to talk to two different people in here. First of all, I believe that there's some people in here that you're struggling with burnout. You're ready to quit. God wants to speak to you today and he wants to tell you, don't quit. Great men and women are ordinary men and women that simply do not quit. Rather, why don't you get to the hiding place? Spend time in God's presence, not just on Sunday morning. We don't serve a weekend God. Maybe for you it's getting up earlier in the morning before everyone else in the house and just seeking God. It's the time of refuge for you and God. But maybe for those of you, some of you have been in the hiding place for quite some time. You've been there for a while. You're not serving anywhere. And maybe for you today, it's God's telling you it's time for you to come out of the hiding place and get down to the battlefield. It's time to come out of the mountain, come down off the mountain, because there's people that need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. I'm going to have you bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I just want to thank you for this message. God, I really believe that you're doing a work in the lives of these people that are in this room today. And I believe, God, for some of us that this is a wake-up call. Some of us are tired. We're weary. But we've neglected the one thing to renew our strength, and that's the hiding place. It's time in your presence. Nothing else in this world will fill that, will rejuvenate us, but time with you. So God, I just pray, Lord, today for those that fit that bill, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them. Draw them into that hiding place with you. And God, maybe for those others in the room today that have just been waiting in the hiding place, I believe, God, that you're starting to call them forth. You're starting to call them forth into the streets, into our community, because there's work that needs to be done. God, maybe they're not serving anywhere. Holy Spirit, I believe that you're speaking to them today as well, and you're telling them it's time. Thank you for your word, God. In Jesus' name.